Now it's time for Witness. It's nearly 20 years since the first webcam went online, but as Rebecca Kesby reports, the scientists who invented it had no idea where it would lead. This is the story of the Trojan Room coffee pot.
It's late November 1991, and at Cambridge University's computer lab in Britain, scientists are beavering away on research projects at the forefront of computer technology. The main lab is called the Trojan Room. Dr. Quentin Stafford Fraser worked there.
My memories of that room were there were two or three rows of sort of racks of computer, weren't they? They were computers that slotted in almost like sort of books in library shelves. And there were rows and rows of these sort of single board computers plugged into these shelves with cables dangling all over the place. And it was an amazing sort of spaghetti collection. Mm.
But there was one piece of equipment that all the scientists came to rely upon.
Yes, well, one of the things that's very, very important in computer science research is to have a regular and dependable flow of caffeine. And we were mostly based in the Trojan Room, but not everybody was there. Some people were in a next door room, some people were even two or three floors away. And so those of us who were right next to the coffee pot got the best coffee, and people who lived in rooms, you know, further away would often turn up to get some coffee, only finding that it had all been drunk.
The preoccupation with coffee and fair access to it led a team of highly specialised scientists to divert attention from their research into solving the problem of the Trojan Room coffee pot. Paul Jardetsky was one of them. He now works in California, and he joined us via Skype. Paul, can you hear us?
I can. Hi.
Hello, Paul.
Coming through so clearly, I must say. It's really quite good audio.
Skype is the descendant of what they're about to create, the first webcam. Paul was instrumental in the beginning, although he didn't appreciate that at the time. He just wanted fresh coffee.
I, at the time, was studying video storage, and so we had some video equipment around, and we noticed a frame grabber and a camera that were just sitting unused. So we just picked that up and connected it to a computer sitting in one of the racks that we just talked about, and ran a cable across the floor in order to point the camera at the coffee pot and started grabbing some images.
We wrote a couple of bits of software. Paul wrote some that it would capture the images from this camera, and I wrote a bit of software that people could run on their computer workstations that would display an image that was captured from this camera. And it was very low resolution. It was just about the size of a little icon that you might have on your screen nowadays. And it updated, I think, about once every 3 minutes or something. But what it meant was that rather than having to run downstairs to see if there was any fresh coffee, you could just glance down into the corner of your screen.
For more than a year, the camera solved the coffee problem for most of the scientists at Cambridge who viewed it on their internal computer system. But Martin Johnson didn't have the software to access the images. He came up with an imaginative solution and sparked a revolution.
Well, we were experimenting with this World Wide Web. I investigated the server code and found that it was really rather easy to make it run. But the problem was I had no material. Nobody had written anything to provide. It simply wasn't something that had been thought of as being a necessary job. So I was left with a server and nothing for it to do.
In the first days of the web, it was only text, wasn't it?
Largely, yes. I realised that these images existed, and I built a little script around that. The first version was probably only about 12 lines of code, probably less, and it simply copied the image to the requester whenever it was asked for. It was as simple as that.
So the web browser would come in and basically say, can I have the image at this address? And it would just get the latest one that had been captured from the coffee pot.
It was used worldwide within the first 24 hours. We'd had research collaborations in various places in Europe, and the word spread very quickly.
And you have to kind of picture the situation here. There were very few web servers out there, and there were even fewer that had any sort of images on them, because web browsers had only been able to display images for a relatively short period of time, and most people were using them to show the logo of their institution or the graphs of their results or whatever. And what was interesting about what Martin had done was that every time you went and grabbed an image, you got something different, and you never knew what it was going to be. Now, it didn't vary very much. It was either an empty coffee pot or a full coffee pot, or if it in a more exciting, yes, more exciting moments, maybe a half-full coffee pot, and then you had to try and guess whether it was going up or down.
To be really honest, there wasn't a huge amount of excitement about it. 2 days later, we documented the fact that we'd done it at our weekly meeting, and it merited one sentence in the minutes saying that there was now a World Wide Web server, and we noted that the image of the coffee was proving popular.
We didn't know what it would turn into, or indeed what the web would turn into.
Nowadays, we're all used to subjects going viral on the web, but back then, the scientists weren't prepared for just how famous the Trojan Room coffee pot would become.
One of the first things I remember we had to do was point a light at it, a sort of angle-poise lamp, because we discovered that people were connecting and looking at this image of the pot from different time zones, and sometimes it was the middle of the night for us.
Yes, we got emails saying that people couldn't see it because it was dark, and could we do something about this?
Yes. I remember when somebody turned up at the Cambridge Tourist Information Office saying that they had heard about this coffee pot, and could they see it? I think it took a little while, but the Tourist Information Centre, to their credit, worked out that this was something to do with the computer lab, which was just down the street. And so they did come and see it and had a cup of coffee from this pot. I remember one of the first interviews I did about this was with a Japanese TV crew. All of a sudden, it was clear that this stuff was global.
I think we were a little bewildered by it all, to be honest. We couldn't really see what was so special about it and why people were so interested in it.
Yeah, I'll second that. You know, by that time, I was already back in the US, and I had kept in touch with my Cambridge friends, and they were informing me. They were telling me, hey, we're getting all these hits, and, you know, look at this. And I was like, wow.
The coffee pot became so well known, it even merited a mention on the BBC's most famous radio soap opera, The Archers.
I remember the first webcam being set up. It was at Cambridge University, I think.
Oh, really?
They put a camera on their departmental coffee pot so people could check if it was full without leaving their desks. Just for a laugh, really.
Sounds a bit ridiculous to me.
Oh, absolutely.
I certainly remember the Archers episode. It's had front page coverage on the Times in London and on the Washington Post. You know, I sometimes think that nothing else I'm ever involved in my life will ever get this much coverage. And it was just sort of one crazy afternoon's idea that we put together.
As with all computer technology, what was once revolutionary quickly became passé. The scientists decided to turn off the camera to a wave of nostalgic protest.
We simply wanted to throw away the machines that were supporting this.
We announced that it was going to be switched off. And that was when we really discovered just how many people around the world had come to know and love this thing, because there were protests and there were people asking if there was some way it could be kept alive. I remember we turned the camera around so that the last image it ever took was our fingers pressing the switch to turn it off. This had been going for 10 years, and in that time, it had gone from being a wacky new idea to a novelty that a reasonable number of people knew about, to a widely viewed icon of the early web, to an historic artifact, and then to something that people were mourning over when it was no longer there. And I think only on the internet can that sort of thing happen in just 10 years.
The Trojan Room coffee pot was sold at auction over the internet for thousands of pounds to Der Spiegel newspaper in Germany, and before too long, it was back in active service.
Rebecca Kesby. And if you'd like to subscribe to a free daily download of the programme, just go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts and search for Witness.